Okay.
Hello.
Hello, good evening. Just the two of us?
Would you like to talk about?
We're close to getting started, isn't it? I didn't enter no passcode. Do we still have to enter a passcode right now? I clicked on and here we are.
Yeah, I didn't put in a passcode either.
What's that?
I didn't put a passcode in either.
If you follow the link that we send you in the email, you don't need to put the passcode in. That makes sense.
What's that?
If you follow the link in the email, you don't have to put the passcode in. It doesn't require it.
I guess that's what I did because I'm here. I see Renee. Chris and Mark, Will.
Good afternoon, number four. Renee, where were you imagining us? There we go. Just number.
I see you guys are laughing, but I don't hear nothing.
Oh, we have you on mute.
Oh, okay.
I was asking Chris to email me a link to this because my wife wants to watch.
I got you.
I won't call number four when we first do it. Okay. I'd be on, but I definitely get there. Sure. I can see him pop out the radio.
Good evening. This is Chris Meister. I'm Executive Director of the Illinois Finance Authority. I would like to call this agency listening session to order.
Good evening. This is Mark Meyer, Associate General Counsel of the Authority. Today's date is Thursday, November 17th, 2022. And this agency listening session has been called to order by Executive Director Meister at the time of 7 p.m. It will remain open up to 120 minutes from now or until everyone has had an opportunity to speak. This is a listening session only and is being conducted via video and audio conference. Staff of the authority, consistent with the authority's designation as the Climate Bank of the State of Illinois under Illinois law, are holding this agency listening session regarding the Inflation Reduction Act, or IRA, which amended the Clean Air Act to create a new program through the United States Environmental Protection Agency, US EPA, the Greenhouse Gas Reduction Fund, or GGRF. This is a first-of-its-kind federal program. This first-of-its-kind federal program will provide competitive grants to mobilize financing and leverage private capital for clean energy and climate projects that reduce greenhouse gas emissions, with an emphasis on projects that benefit low-income disadvantaged communities, and further the Biden-Harris administration's commitment to environmental justice. Executive Director Chris Meister is currently with me in the authority's Chicago office at the physical location of this listening session and participating via video and audio conference. Some guests and staff are similarly at the location of the meeting and participating via video and audio conference, while some guests and staff will attend this meeting solely via video or audio conference. As we take the roll call, the response of the guests and staff will be taken as an indication that they can hear all discussion and testimony. Since this this agency listening session is an agency listening session, I will recognize the guest members and staff who are present. Please respond with present when I call your name. Guest Vice Chair and Member Nava.
Present.
Guest Member Pilar.
Present. You're going to hear my dog, so sorry.
Guest Member Poole.
Present.
And Illinois Finance Authority Executive Director Chris Meister.
Present.
Illinois Finance Authority IT Manager Rob Litchfield.
I'm present.
Renee, please state your... Our intern, Renee, is also present today. Renee, can you spell your last name for the court report?
Gerard, G-I-R-A-R-D.
Thank you. Before we begin making our way through to... Oh, and guest and chair and member of the authority, Will Hober.
Present.
All right. I am also present. Before we begin making our way through today's session, I would like to request that each speaker mute their audio when possible to eliminate any background noise unless you are speaking, answering a question, or otherwise providing any comment for the record. If you are participating via video, please use the mute button found on your taskbar on the bottom of your screen. You'll be able to see the control bar by moving your mouse or touching the screen of your tablet. For any guest member, staff, or anyone from the public participating via phone, to mute and unmute your line, you may press star 6 on your keypad if you do not have that feature on your phone. As a reminder, we are being recorded, and the court reporter is transcribing today's listening session. For the consideration of the court reporter, I'd also like to ask that each speaker state their name before speaking or otherwise providing any comments for the record. Finally, I would like to confirm that all members of the public attending via video or audio conference can hear this meeting clearly. Guest Vice Chair Nava, can you confirm that this video and audio conference is clearly heard at your remote location?
Yes, I can confirm that I can hear everything just fine from my remote location. Thank you.
Great. I'm physically present in the conference room of the 10th floor of 160 North LaSalle Street in Chicago, Illinois, and I can confirm that I can hear all discussion, the physical location of this listening session, and the remote participants that have spoken thus far. The agenda for this listening session was posted on this floor and on the first floor and on the authority's website as of last Thursday, November 10th, 2022. Any member of the public participating via video or audio conference finds that they cannot hear these proceedings clearly, please call 312-651-1300 or write info at il-fa.com immediately to let us know, and we will endeavor to solve the audio issue.
This is Will Hobart. Thank you, Mark. Welcome to this second time that we've conducted an agency listening session. As you have heard, this evening's topic is the Greenhouse Gas Reduction Fund. The GGRF is an important opportunity for the authority in our state statutory role as the climate bank and for Illinois as a whole. The GGRF is a new program, and the federal government is in the process of shaping it. The amount of the GGRF money that the federal government will be distributing nationally is estimated to be as large as $27 billion, and the timeline of such funding is aggressive. In our view, the GGRF purposes are consistent with the purposes of the Illinois Climate and Equitable Jobs Act, or CEJA, specifically the goals of putting 1 million electric vehicles on Illinois roads by 2030, reaching 100% clean energy in Illinois by 2050, and while prioritizing job creation, training, placement, reflecting the diversity of Illinois. Importantly, U.S. EPA is conducting its own public engagement efforts, so our work today merely complements U.S. EPA's public engagement efforts. However, as the authority shapes its approach to compete for limited GGRF funds, the authority wants to hear as many voices as possible. For that reason, we will limit each guest statement to 3 minutes, and an email address has been provided for written comments. We encourage everybody to participate both by showing up today and by email. We thank everyone for your interest in this listening session and for taking time out of your day. Before I ask Chris to provide a brief overview of the GGRF opportunity, I turn to my colleagues for a brief statement. Members Nava, Pawar, and Poole. Member Nava?
Vice Chair Nava, would you like to share any thoughts?
I'm sorry, what?
Would you like to share any thoughts before we get started?
No, this is Vice Chair Roxanne Nava, and I'm good. Thank you so much. Great. Sorry.
Thank you. Member Pawar or Member Poole?
Go ahead.
Oh, thank you, Chair Hobart. Thank you, everyone, for joining us tonight. I just wanted to quickly say that Section 134 of the Inflation Reduction Act is an opportunity to inject much needed private capital into low income and disadvantaged communities around the state of Illinois, improve the health of those communities by reducing greenhouse gas emissions, and do so that is consistent with the governor's goals in the Clean Energy Jobs Act and in a manner that reflects the diversity of Illinois. So thank you all for being here tonight. I'm excited to hear what everyone has to say. Thank you. Back to you, Chair Hobart.
Thank you, Member Pryor. Member Poole.
Yes, Mr. Chairman. I'm very excited to be part of this, the opportunity to do this as a member of the IFA. Being a member of organized labor for a longer than I want to really admit, but the opportunity of this Section 134 is exciting to the fact that how it will prevail in the state, move jobs, progressiveness to move jobs and opportunities for organized labor and their members and men and women of the labor movement. It's a dynamite program that I just can't say much more about it other than the fact that it's exciting to be part of it. And the IFA have an opportunity to participate in at the level they are. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Chris, over to you.
Thank you very much, Chair Hobart. For the stakeholders, we've posted on our website a stakeholder memo, which importantly contains links to various U.S. EPA websites, including the Environmental Financial Advisory Board, which met earlier today, and so they have even more information posted on their website. We also have a complete copy of the statute, which fortunately for federal law is fairly short. It's about 2+ pages, and I'm just going to cover it very, very briefly because there's a lot of information that EPA is continually updating and in the stakeholder memo, there are the various dates. There is, in addition, and as Will said, our work complements the work of the EPA in gathering public input. It's our intent to submit this information to the EPA to help them shape the 134 GGRF program. So importantly, there are three buckets of money under 134. There's what's known as zero emission technologies. It's up to $7 billion. It is open to states, municipalities, tribal governments, and eligible recipients. A defined term of art in 134 that is a nonprofit organization that has the ability to make investments, direct investments and indirect investments in qualified projects at the state, regional, and local levels. But the zero emission technology, $7 billion, is designed to enable and benefit low and low-income and disadvantaged communities take advantage of zero emission technologies, including those on residential rooftops. So that's category one. There is a remaining $20 billion that is open to, again, the eligible entities that I just described and that's identified in the statute. There's up to $12 billion in financial and technical assistance. And then there is $8 billion specifically for low-income and disadvantaged communities. Again, we look forward to hearing what folks have to say. And this is a listening session. And the instructions for the attendees who wish to speak on the record, as has been mentioned, anybody participating via video, please indicate your desire to speak by using the raise your hand function. Click on the raise hand option at the center of your control bar at the bottom of your screen. You will be able to see the taskbar by moving your mouse or touching the screen on your tablet. If any attendee is participating by phone, please indicate your desire to speak by using the raise hand function by pressing star 9. For each attendee, again, as Will mentioned, please limit your speaking to 3 minutes or less. We will use a timer so that we get as many speakers as possible. You will not be called upon a second time. However, the member guests may wish to ask questions of any attendee speaker. We will stop the timer for any question and answer exchanges. If any attendee is inappropriate or unprofessional, you will be removed from the meeting. Should you wish to submit comments in writing, the email is webmaster@il-fa.com, and we'll keep that open until 5 p.m. on Friday, November the 18th, 2022. The session is being recorded. We have a court reporter who is transcribing this evening's discussion. So when you are called upon, please slowly state and spell your name so that the court reporter can accurately record it. For the record, Rob Litchfield is running our technical resources, and he's available to help manage the queue along with Mark. So thank you very much. The court-reported transcription and recording of last Thursday's listening session has already been posted on the authority's website. Back to you, Will.
Thank you, Chris. This is Will Hobart. Rob, if I could ask you and Chris to work together to cue and call upon the attendee speakers, we will work to have as many attendee speakers as possible, and this session will run a full 120 minutes if needed. Rob, do you have any attendee speakers ready?
Yes, there's three queued to speak. So our first one is Joe Duffy.
Hi, can you hear me?
Yes.
All right, good evening, everyone. My name is Joe Duffy. That's D-U-F-F-Y.
Thank you so much for the opportunity to speak today. I am the executive director of Climate Jobs Illinois. We are a coalition that is governed by the Illinois AFL-CIO, the Chicago Federation of Labor, as well as the Cook County Construction and Building Trades. In addition to that, we have 12 different labor affiliates across the state. And we were created back in 2020 in advance of the negotiations around the Climate Equitable Jobs Act. And our organization was successful in terms of securing the strongest labor standards in the country on the Climate Equitable and Jobs Act that requires project labor agreements and all utility scale wind and solar, as well as prevailing wage on projects that receive renewable energy credits outside of residential of solar and some houses of worship. We are very excited. I want to echo what Member Poole said regarding the Inflation Reduction Act and why we think certain funds can be allocated and really benefit the state of Illinois as well as workers across the state of Illinois and decarbonize our state's economy. Due to the work that we were able to do in CEJA, and then what the Inflation Reduction Act does to complement that work that we all worked on over the last couple of years. And I also want to echo, I was on the previous recording last week, what a friend and colleague of ours that we work very closely with at Hire 360, Deborah Whitaker, she made some comments last week related to funds going to Black contractors, as well as the work that they're doing at Hire 360 to diversify the construction and building trades, very much is important to our coalition, Climate Jobs Illinois, and our affiliates and labor across the state of Illinois. And then there's two other pieces that I think are really important where the money secured through this Green Bank can really benefit the Illinois and really benefit and hit the goals that the Green Bank is seeking to accomplish. One of which is putting this money towards workforce development. In the Climate Equitable Jobs Act, there's three workforce development hubs in Northern, Central, and Southern Illinois. The Climate Works Pre-Apprenticeship Program that is in the process of being implemented by the Department of Commerce and Economic Opportunity that would set up pre-apprenticeship programs to get people prepared to take the tests to get into an apprenticeship program from the various construction and building trades in clean energy. We think that that money would be very well spent to prop up those organizations and build upon the work that Hire 360 has done in Chicago and
Joe,
in Cook County.
Have 30 seconds or less.
Sounds good. And then in addition to that is towards carbon-free healthy schools. In the CEJA, there is 15% of the renewable energy credits towards going to on solar on schools, as well as energy efficiency audits, and focused on tier one, tier two, and environmental justice schools. So we think it would be very beneficial to have that money towards amplifying solar on schools, decarbonizing schools, and electric school buses as well. Thank you so much for your time.
Thank you, Joe. We appreciate your time and your thoughts. Rob, it looks like next up, who's next in the queue?
Mike Genin.
Great. Hi, Mike.
Hello, can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay, thank you, Chair Hobart, members of the Illinois Finance Authority, and the staff for the opportunity to testify on the Greenhouse Gas Reduction Fund. My name is Mike, my last name is G-E-N-I-N, Genin, and I'm representing the Illinois Municipal Utility Association, also known as the IMUA, and the Illinois Municipal Electric Agency, also known as the IMEA. We have worked well with the IFA in the past with regards to the emergency loan financing for municipal gas systems during the winter storm Uri. We would like to again thank you, Chair Hobart and the IFA again for their quick action and urgent necessary relief during that time frame. The IMEA is a nonprofit joint action agency providing wholesale power to 32 municipal electric systems in the state, and the IMUA is the advocacy organization representing all 42 municipal electric systems in Illinois. We are nonprofit utilities, and well over a majority of our municipal electric systems are in low-income or rural downstate communities. We would welcome the opportunity to potentially work with the IFA on the GGRF and help many of these folks benefit from increased electric vehicles on their roads and reaching the state 100% clean energy goals by 2050. Our organizations are uniquely positioned and qualified to enable these municipal electric utilities, and as a result, their communities to benefit from the new zero emission technologies or the reduction of greenhouse gas emission technologies. We already administer and execute programs that support energy efficiency and electric vehicle incentives. If the IFA is able to secure the GGRF funds, and if we were to have the prospect to partner with the IFA, then we could expand our programs to offer new incentives and opportunities that would not necessarily be available without financial assistance. Examples could include offering customers incentives or rebates for high efficiency heat pumps, efficient appliances, weatherization options, and opportunities to accelerate the transition to carbon-free vehicle fleets. We also have experience in developing renewable projects such as wind and solar. We could use this experience to potentially offer the opportunity of community-based solar for our municipal customers, as well as other zero-emission or greenhouse gas reduction technologies. In conclusion, thank you for your consideration. Thank you for representing Illinois and assessing the GGRF funds, and thank you for the opportunity to speak today. Thank you.
Thank you, Mike. We appreciate your time and your thoughts. Next up, Rob, is it Tracy?
Tracy Fox.
Great. Hi, Tracy.
Hi. Thanks to the director, board members, and staff who are holding this evening's session. It's much appreciated. I have been a community volunteer in the Peoria area for many years and got involved with energy policy as it was pretty closely intertwined with our fight to clean up pollution at the Edwards Coal Plant. And that led me to be pretty involved with some of the legislative drafting done by the Clean Jobs Coalition on CEJA. And the way that CEJA is drafted, there's a real opportunity to do not one, but two or three things with the greenhouse gas reduction funds. I certainly think that the IFA is well positioned to carry part of that load, but I also think there's an important place for smaller, more culturally sensitive banking sorts of things, such as what was envisioned in the client in the CEJA Jobs and Justice Fund. And so I hope that as IFA moves forward, it will think about a role for both banking options, as well as ways that it can lift up not just the couple of programs called out by CJI and Mr. Duffy, but the full range of CEJA programs. I would hope that IFA would coordinate with the Illinois Power Authority, as well as DCEO, to see how the full suite of programs might benefit from this success extra funding. I also just want to dig in a little bit to why I think multiple banking options are needed. And the first has to do with target audiences. CEJA and the parts of it that I worked on, including the Jobs and Justice Fund, really focus on the needs of very small contractors and new entrants into the clean energy field. And they're very targeted to try to bring people who have been shut out before into clean energy. And that would be people in environmental justice, people in cannabis ravaged communities, people coming out of the prison system, and people who are foster care alums. I think the banking relationships needed to help that bottom tier of folks who could benefit from the jobs, who could benefit from the opportunity, is going to look pretty different from what IFA typically deals with. And I think it's good to have multiple doors. These folks, a lot of them are used to not having good access to capital,
30 seconds
having
left.
Pretty fraught banking relationships. So I think that duplication is important. I also think it's important because it allows you to do different types of projects. Small projects that appear in neighborhoods are the appropriate purview of a smaller entity like the Jobs and Justice Fund, whereas answering questions like what's the urban equivalent of a wind farm, something that the Southside of Peoria District Council people ask me all the time. Those are the purview of things the IFA would be well positioned to address. And finally, I ask you not to solve isolated and outdated projects or problems. Instead, try to position IFA, its efforts, our overall greenhouse gas reduction efforts, and solving the problems of everyday people, the need for clean air, the need for low-cost energy, and also to position Illinois to catch the next wave. We don't need to be propping up ethanol plants with additional carbon piping and working on solutions that are only going to be good for 20 to 30 years. IFA is in the has
your
experience.
Your time is up.
Okay. You have the experience to look beyond the obvious solutions, and I encourage you to do so.
Thank you, Tracy. We appreciate your thoughts. Rob, do we have anyone else in the queue?
No, that's it. No speakers.
Will, I think Roxanne's got a comment.
Great. Roxanne?
Thank you, Chair Hobart. So I just wanted to add to the great comments, like this is really unprecedented times, both in terms of the potential for the funding and the aggressiveness of the implementation schedule. So I appreciate hearing everyone speak because, well, you know, it's important for all of us, grant applicants, grant recipients, because we know that it's important to do this right. It's important to be inclusive. It's important to be equitable because I believe the world is watching us. I'm glad all the speakers were constructive and they were on the same page of being inclusive and equitable. And we look forward to hearing from everybody so that we can all move forward together. Thank you, Chair Colbert.
Thank you, Member Nava. Appreciate those thoughts. Rob, do we still have nobody in the queue?
Nobody in the queue.
Okay.
Again, this is, should we, are we ready to adjourn? Yeah. Again, this is Mark Meyer, Executive Director.
Wait. We have someone logged in as staff liaison.
Hi there, folks. Apologies. I'm using a work email, a work Zoom account. My name is Lauren Becker, and I'm with the City of Carbondale, Illinois.
Hi, Lauren. Please take up to 3 minutes and let us know your thoughts.
My thoughts will be short and sweet. I just want to make sure that I take this time that you've provided for us to echo the sentiments of a previous speaker, coming from the perspective of a municipal employee. I cannot stress enough the importance of small projects and the importance of projects that focus on strengthening the resilience of our neighborhoods. So a previous speaker had mentioned this opportunity as an avenue for us to focus on the new wave, catching the new wave. So I just wanna stress that our community is also looking to catch the new wave, not additional carbon piping. We want to be preparing ourselves to be resilient and focused on energy sovereignty and energy security in this new age. And we welcome the opportunity for municipal governments to pursue power that we can own ourselves, pursue power that focuses on providing those of us who are low income or disadvantaged with an opportunity to get a head start, get a jump, because believe it or not, utilities in and of themselves can make or break a family's monthly budget. So I just want to add those thoughts coming from the perspective of a municipal staff member, and I appreciate your time. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Lauren. We appreciate your time and your thoughts. Rob, anybody else in the queue?
No.
Okay.
Oh, wait, spoke too soon. There is Jane, is it Kogi?
Yeah. I'm Jane Kogi. I'm a member of the Sustainability Commission of Carbondale. Jane. Can you hear me?
Yes, please go ahead, Jane.
Okay, thank you. Thank you. Yeah, I don't really have prepared remarks except that I endorse what the two of the speakers mentioned about need for small projects. One of the main impetus for the Climate and Equitable Jobs Act is to have clean energy accessible to all, but also to have clean jobs across the state. And having the equity portion of CEJA for solar developers as well as for workforce training would involve having a green fund available, configured so it's available to folks in those locations across the state. And I can speak definitely for Southern Illinois and need for jobs. And it's and we definitely have low-income folks who would benefit from those jobs as well as from having solar on their house. I want to be sure that funding for projects that involve pipelines to sequester carbon from ethanol plants or elsewhere is not in the spirit of moving on to new generation of clean energy. It's sort of reinforcing the past and fossil fuels. Nothing wrong with fossil fuels, but we need to move beyond them at this point. So I will write a written comment in addition to this, but I did want to at least speak out on this level, this general level, to endorse that focus on local and clean alternative fuels. Thank you so much for your time. It's terrific that all this this financing is available, will be available through the Green Fund, and we want to make the best of it. Thanks so much.
Thank you, Jane. We appreciate your time and your thoughts. Rob, anyone else in the queue?
No other speakers.
Okay. Well, Joe, Mike, Tracy, Lauren, and Jane, we appreciate your time and sharing your thoughts with us. Member Pawar, Nava, and Poole, we appreciate your time for joining in as well as staff in the room. And Rob, thank you. With that, Mark?
Again, this is Mark Meyer. The time is 7:32 p.m., and this agency listening session is adjourned.
Thank you, everybody.
Thanks.
Thank you.